do you have any update or any idea about what's going on with the Marcus Gasol aggravation of his hamstring injury? And, like, where's your concern level at with this?
No, it's Nick Nurse didn't sound too concerned after the game, but they also didn't sound, like, incredibly alarmed the last time either. They referred to it as hamstring tightness initially last time too, I believe. So I think that's something he'll probably get looked at today. They're not practicing, so we won't get an official update until probably shoot around in Cleveland tomorrow. I would assume that if there's, you know, any concern at all, they'll take it slow. Obviously, they know, you know, that what they're doing right now, especially with more games against lesser competition coming up, it doesn't really matter. They'll play it super safe with Gasol. But yeah, if this is anything beyond, you know, it was toward the end of the game and he's a little older and it just felt tender and they're taking it cautious, yeah, that's, you know, he's into his 30s and he's a big guy and you really don't want to see multiple soft tissue injuries to the same part of the body. So, you know, unless he plays in this Thursday, Friday back-to-back, I think it's probably something that'll stay on the back of their minds the rest of the way, and you might see his minutes come down even further as a result.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be concerned even if it's the same thing now, because there's plenty of time to recover and return for the playoffs, and he's shown the ability to miss a bunch of time and then come back and play at his best. But the concern is, of course, if it crops up or keeps him, limits him in the postseason, like, what does that do to the Raptors' chances if they don't have a fully capable Marc Gasol in the postseason?
Yeah, it would be huge. I mean, you look at some potential matchups that they've run into, and obviously you would want him, his absence would be felt dramatically in, say, a Philadelphia 76ers series. But also he just, you know, he is such a ceiling raiser on offense when he's around better players and when he's helping that starting lineup get easier looks. And then defensively, the Raptors have a handful of candidates when we get around to talking all defense later in the year, and Marc Gasol is going to be in tough because the center position is so deep there, but I think he's been their best defender and has kind of pushed their defense the most when he's out there, and it doesn't look like traditional rim protection, but he's a good rim deterrent and he's such a good communicator out there that you'd have concerns on both ends of the floor if he was unavailable. I don't know if it's enough that it changes, say, their trade deadline thinking about adding a potential third center where they don't love playing Chris Boucher there a ton. I don't know. You know, again, the only information we have was Nick not sounding particularly concerned after the game. But, yeah, I think it's something that will be on their mind because as much as Gasol doesn't carry a heavy scoring load as often anymore, he's still, you know, really important to this team at both ends of the floor.
Okay, but that's actually where I wanted to go next, which is, you know, when you were in with me last week, we spent some time, I don't even know how much on air versus how much off air, but there was like multiple times of gushing about Marc Gasol and how, yeah, there's just so many things that he does. It's impossible to replace him, whether it's his offense in the high post, whether it is that rim protection that you were just talking about, his passing ability, the way he can stretch the floor, leadership, everything, all those things. The one thing that was kind of missing this year was the game from within 15 feet. And since he's been back, that's all of a sudden reemerged to a certain degree. Has anyone talked to him about this? Have you gotten any read on why all of a sudden it is that he's feeling more comfortable inserting himself a little bit more on the offense from 15 feet and in?
No, I haven't spoke to him much. I would imagine that, you know, the rest while he was hurt helped a little bit. Some of it was just he was also getting like incredibly unlucky on some of those post buckets.
For sure.
But I think, you know, it's probably to some degree a confidence thing where you see a couple of those rainbow fadeaways in the post drop and, you know, your comfort level just improves. And then I think, you know, he's a smart guy and he's a film guy. I wouldn't be surprised if while he was injured, you know, he was trying to look for examples of ways he could assert himself more in the offense because he's so unselfish by nature. It takes a little bit of rewiring maybe at this stage in his career to tilt back toward, hey, we need you up around 20% usage. We need you taking 8, 9, 10 shots a game. So I wouldn't be surprised if I did talk to him, if he said, you know, hey, I spent some time with the video staff or whatever, just looking for where those opportunities can come. He's such a smart guy that, you know, when you imagine him sitting on the shelf for 10 or 12 games, I think he's probably watching and studying pretty intently from the bench.
Couldn't have waited until the Raptors called the timeout to leave the floor, though. That was, if there's a reason to be concerned, and, like, Nick Nurse tried to calm us after the game, I suppose, but that was it. Like, he couldn't wait. He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, the refs handled that weirdly, too, where, you know, I I haven't watched the game back yet, but the way it looked from my vantage point was that the refs allowed them to inbound the ball with only four and then gave them a technical foul for it. It was really confusing in the moment.
Yeah, really weird. So, yeah, you mentioned Boucher played the backup minutes after four straight DNPs. I imagine he's back in the rotation now with Gasol out for who knows how long. Like, what's his future with this team after he kind of emerged on that first road trip where everybody got hurt before that?
Yeah, I think they have confidence in Boucher giving them energy minutes. And the tough reality for him is that when everyone's healthy, there's probably only room for one of him or Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Hollis-Jefferson's a little more dynamic and versatile defensively, whereas Boucher, you know, a lot of the times is kind of just the shot blocker. Offensively, Boucher gives them that nice vertical threat on offense that none of their other screen setters or centers have. And he has a nice chemistry with Kyle Lowry. I think, you know, if Boucher's back in the rotation as a bench guy, maybe you structure the rotation so you get a little more of those Lowry bench units, because Boucher does have a good chemistry there and he has a good chemistry with Terrence Davis. But I think the spot he's in is, you know, he's going to have to wait for these opportunities. And that's unfortunate because I think he's shown that he can be, you know, a backup level player in the NBA, and he probably deserves more than four straight DNP CDs. But that's kind of, you know, one of the benefits of depth and having the guys who buy into that kind of thing where, you know, even today you have Stanley Johnson going down to Raptors 905 again to get some reps in and kind of stay ready. Yeah, it's tough. Boucher, I would love to see Boucher play every game because I love his style of basketball, and I like the way he impacts games when, you know, when it's a good game for him. And I think that the fact that he has a short leash when he doesn't have a good game, he doesn't do a lot of damage either. So, you know, that's the one benefit we've got all year from these guys being injured and the Raptors having to go deeper in the rotation is you get to see more from a guy like Chris Boucher. We all know his game a little bit better at this point. And I think there's maybe, you know, less concern about, hey, the next four or five games, Chris Boucher's got to play 15, 20 minutes.